Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're taking a look at the airline industry, specifically the JetBlue case study you provided.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating story of a newcomer that, well, you know, shook things up.
Oh, absolutely. It's a classic example of innovation and how a company can really disrupt an entire industry,
yeah.
Especially one as established as the airline industry.
Right. And the case study really sets the scene well. It paints a picture of the U.S. airline industry in the early 2000s.
Right.
You know, post 9/11 weak economy, a lot of the major airlines were really struggling.
Yeah. It was a tough time for the industry. A lot of uncertainty.
You know? But then you had Southwest Airlines.
Oh, right. Southwest.
A low-cost carrier that was actually doing incredibly well amidst all this chaos.
They were. They really were. And they kind of became the model for success in the industry, at least at that time, with their point-to-point system.
It's point-to-point.
Yeah. So instead of the traditional hub-and-spoke model, where you have to connect through a central airport, Southwest was flying directly between cities.
Interesting. So like cutting out the middleman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that, along with their use of a single aircraft type, you know, the Boeing 737, it simplified their operations and really helped them reduce costs. And then their no-frills service, you know, it meant lower fares.
Right.
But they also really focused on employee culture, and that set them apart.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the case study really highlights that employee focus.
Ice key.
It almost seems like they were ahead of their time in recognizing how important happy employees are for a successful business.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They really understood that if you invest in your employees, it's going to translate to better service.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, a stronger bottom line. And that brings us to JetBlue.
Okay. So JetBlue enters the picture.
Right. And their founder, David Neeleman.
Yeah.
He had a history with Southwest.
Oh, interesting.
So he was very much inspired by their model.
So it's like he took what worked for Southwest and kind of added his own twist.
Exactly. Yeah. Precisely. He wanted to replicate that low-cost model, but with a real focus on the customer experience.
Yeah.
You know, his vision for JetBlue was to bring humanity back to air travel.
I love that, bringing humanity back. But,
yeah.
But what did that actually look like in practice?
Well, you know, it meant things like leather seats, more legroom. Free snacks, entertainment.
Okay.
You know, they really understood that passengers wanted more than just a cheap ticket.
Yeah.
They craved comfort, value, and they were willing to pay a bit more for it.
That's really interesting because it raises the question of how they managed to balance affordability with that higher level of service.
Right. It's a good question. And they did it through a series of really strategic choices. For example, they chose JFK Airport as their hub.
Okay.
But they focused on off-peak hours.
To keep costs down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were being very strategic from the start.
Yeah. I mean, they were playing the game, so to speak.
They were.
What other smart moves did they make?
Well, their route selection, they were very savvy about that. They targeted underserved markets and red-eye flights, routes that the bigger airlines weren't really paying much attention to.
So, like, finding those untapped niches and really capitalizing on them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Was technology a factor in their success?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. JetBlue was an early adopter of technology. Paperless cockpits, online booking, electronic bag tagging.
Wow.
All of that increased efficiency, improved customer service. They even tracked flights on their intranet so that employees could better assist customers.
So they really had their finger on the pulse of how to use technology to their advantage.
They did.
It's like they were weaving all these different elements together to create like a seamless experience.
Exactly.
And their human resources strategy was also pretty innovative, right?
Oh yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
They called employees crew members.
Interesting.
To foster that sense of teamwork. And they offered profit sharing and stock options.
So it's that employee-centric approach again.
Yeah. They clearly believed in investing in their people.
Yeah.
And it paid off. It directly translated into their industry-leading on-time performance and quick turnaround times, which are, you know, essential for keeping costs down. And it all contributed to some pretty impressive results. I mean, JetBlue was soaring high.
Yeah, I mean, they were really exceeding expectations. What were some of the metrics that kind of showed that success?
Well, in 2002, they had the highest operating margin among major U.S. airlines.
Wow, that's really impressive.
It is. Their on-time performance record was over 85%.
Okay.
Which was significantly higher than the industry average.
Okay.
And their load factor, which is the percentage of seats filled, was also the highest among major U.S. airlines.
So people were choosing to fly JetBlue. I mean, that's a pretty clear sign that they were doing something right. What was the secret? What do you think was the secret to their success?
Well, I'd say it was a combination of factors. You know, they had this compelling value proposition. They were savvy with their route selection, operationally efficient, and they also launched at a very opportune time. They really seized the opportunity presented by the struggling airline industry after 9/11.
So they were in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I think that's fair to
That's the
say.
right approach.
Yeah.
But as we know, the airline industry, it's like a turbulent flight. It's constantly changing.
Always.
So what were some of the challenges that JetBlue started to face, you know, once they kind of hit their stride?
Well, new competition. New competition started to emerge, and that forced JetBlue to make some tough choices. To maintain their altitude, so to speak, they considered removing a row of seats
Really?
to provide even more legroom,
Wow.
which would reinforce their commitment to comfort, but could potentially impact revenue.
That's a tough call. I mean, it's a classic trade-off.
It is. It is.
Did they were there any other significant decisions they had to make around this time?
Yeah, they also contemplated adding smaller planes. The Embraer E190, to be specific, to reach those smaller markets that we talked about earlier, which, you know, would open up new opportunities, but also could introduce some complexity into their operations.
So they were wrestling with this balance
Yes.
between staying true to their initial model
Right.
and pursuing growth.
Exactly.
What factors did they have to consider in making those decisions?
Well, they had to weigh the potential benefits
Sure.
against the risks, the costs. They had to analyze the competitive landscape. You know, how were other airlines responding,
Especially Southwest.
especially Southwest?
So it sounds like they were at a real crossroads.
They were.
What path did they choose?
Well, that's what we'll delve into next.